What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You now entering the Daily Wave, hosted by Mr. Christopher Green himself. Oh, me? I'm just a fellow truth speaker. I go by the name of Doctrine. Welcome to the Daily Wave, starring Christopher Green, alternative media king.
What is the hi to everybody in the chat room? New faces, Sepia Girl, none for you. I see King Daddy Triple X. Great to have all of you join us over at greenwave.com. If you're tuning in anywhere in the world, really, join us on our website. That's green with an E, wave, like you're surfing the wave.com. Vinny Eastwood, do I see you there, my friend?
You do see me here.
Not wanted. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's the Prime Minister, John Key. And okay. let me just read it off here. All right, his name's John Key. He's got known aliases: Teflon John, the Optimist Prime, the Smiling Assassin, which is a nickname from Wall Street that he got, and my name for him, the Prime Minister, of course. His known associates are the Bank of America, the Federal Reserve Bank, and the reasons why he's not wanted is he's for collapsing the global economy, selling state assets, giving SIS, that's our intelligence agency here, and police draconian power, lying to the public, fraudulent derivatives trading, and ripping off pension funds. And his known whereabouts include Bohemian Grove, Freemasonic Lodges, and he's also the head of the New Zealand Zionist Society.
Okay, so for those of you that don't know who John Key, that's how you say it last?
Yeah. Deception is key.
Yeah, exactly. So for those of you that don't know who John Key is, John Philip Key, 38th Prime Minister of New Zealand. He's been in office since 2008. So this is one of your local scumbags, huh?
He's like the scumbag. Like, there's an uberness to his scumbaggery.
Now, do you think, Vinny, I've been on a rant pretty much all afternoon on John Corzine. I know you're familiar with him. You know, he's the bankster. You know, he's that scumbag that basically dipped into all of his client accounts because he made a bad bet. And he's not going to be charged with any kind of criminal activity. In fact, they're just going to interview him. He's going to get a light interview for bankrupting a multi-billion dollar firm, and ruining the lives.
That's nothing. That's nothing. John Key, he bankrupted Ireland, okay? You know, the Irish Tiger, and when it was, like, really booming and stuff like that? It's because John Key moved half his frickin' back offices from Merrill Lynch out there. Got all these nice, beautiful, sweet tax heartbreak, you know, sweetheart tax breaks, stuff like that. And then they moved it all into blind trusts. He's now still got those blind trusts. I think something upwards of $50 million in it or whatever. And as a result, he passes legislation giving the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, which is the equivalent of the Fed here, more power over the economy, and insists that we borrow even more at like $400 million a week, which is what? 40 million a head or something like that. We've got 4 million people, and he's borrowing 400 million a week.
More money, more problems, Vinny. You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah, well, if you're a politician, you can't solve problems, can you? Because you'd be out of the frickin' job. So what they do is they sit there and they create problems. These are the economic hitmen. They get sent in specifically. Like, you have a look at George W. Bush's history, for instance. He has a long, sad history of being placed into organizations and completely fracking them up. Okay? And so naturally, the best job in the world for him to be as somebody who nominally just fracks everything up would, of course, be President of the United States.
You couldn't solve problems because you're in the business of creating problems and then pretending like you're going to solve them even though you don't solve them.
And who creates more problems than the President of the United States?
The only entity or group I could think of are the...
He's the world's chief troublemaker. He's got the biggest stick in the little playground, and if you're very I don't know, upstanding, for instance, and don't wish to sell out to useless corporate scum, then they'll do something about it. All right, they're people who can be counted on to be called into action to ensure that any time something positive is about to happen, cut it off in the knees, or take credit for it and use it as a justification for to do real horrible stuff. it doesn't matter how it works.
Benny, I have a pretty good one, actually. And the reason I'm thinking of it, because I see your board back there. I see the not wanted poster, a John Key. You know how we watch these movies in the FBI? You know, they're like the mob movies, and they're looking at the criminal family, and they've got the whiteboard and the pictures pinned, and you've got the low-level guys and then the guys above him in the hierarchy. And then it goes all the way as they're trying to figure out, you know, who the godfather is, who's really calling the shots. That would be an amazing website to build. Basically do the hierarchy of all these criminals, how they're connected globally. And you can click on their faces, read all about them, read about their crimes.
Or better yet, we can have it narrated in a Godfather-like voice. And over here we have Henry Kissinger. Now Kissinger became a globalist at a very young age when he became a lawyer. And acting under immense strain, decided to work for the US government and provoke wars for absolutely no reason and broker oil deals with the Middle East. After that, he managed to get the US dollar floated with so much freaking debt from oil money that they were able to buy up the whole US.
You know, you're pretty good at that, Vinny. I like that impression. That's pretty good. You've seen The Godfather, obviously, I'm assuming. That's one of my favorite movies, actually. I love the trilogy. I've always tried to do the voice. It's kind of tough. How do you do it? You come to me at I can't. I'm not even gonna try. I'll do it on the break for you, Vinny. You're better than I am.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Let's go to one of our callers here because I promised we'd open up the lines. Let's go to a 360. Yeah, he's been waiting here, or she patiently.
This line is now unmuted.
Hey, Grace, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you for about a year now since that whole debt ceiling fiasco.
Well, great. Great to have you on the show. What's on your mind?
I've been listening to you about all the possible solutions for dealing with people like John Corzine. And I guess the biggest issue I see is that when we, you know, if it comes to the point where we're actually making some real progress and get to the point where things might actually change, you know, the government's been known to, you know, stage all these terror attacks in the past. And I'm just worried that they'll just state something big and, you know, declare martial law or something like that.
Well, you bring up a lot of great points. And, Vinny, I'll have you comment on this. And to fill you in, Vinny, I don't know how much you listened in.
I'm well aware of all this troop movement. Same stuff going on here as well. Have you guys got private security being trained by ex-police officers to swing wildly in crowds if they panic and stuff like that?
I haven't heard about that, no.
Because that's what we got going on down here, man.
What's the question that, you know, he's asking is, that, okay, so let's say we start making real progress. This is a very intelligent, you know, question to ask. Well, these people aren't just going to let it happen, so what are they going to do to us? I mean, or what are they going to fabricate? You know, not only, you know, we have the threat of martial law, and we see the DHS and the Department of Homeland Security, all this has come out recently. They're purchasing, you know, millions of rounds of hollow point bullets, and the National Weather Service here in the United States just made a huge purchase. People don't know why.
Looks to me like they're prepping for a war against the civilian population, like an open dictatorship militarily. I mean, the United States is a big place, and you need a lot of ground forces, I think. And surely if you're moving a huge amount of ground forces, people would notice. And sure enough, you see these long trains. Have anybody seen this video on YouTube here? There's got this train that these guys are waiting at the stop, and at least 1,000 something tanks roll by on the back of a train. All urban camouflage.
Oh, that video is pretty intense.
You know, you're sitting there watching tank after tank after tank. You know, when you're sitting there in a real, real long cargo train's going in front of you or something like that, you're like, man, is this ever going to end? Well, imagine every single one of those pieces of cargo is a right in your face, uncovered, in the open, urban camouflage frickin' tank. Holy cow, man.
From this, Benny and caller, is that, okay, it's bigger than just John Corzine, then, obviously, because, okay, we can make an example of these people, but until we honestly drive a wedge, and a big enough wedge into the system to truly bring it to its knees and fragment, you know, what's already been created, there's no way that we can possibly anything.
Don't you think, Chris, that a fragmented resistance is actually what we need? We need you and me and the caller and everybody else to take a little bit of action by themselves. Only the tiniest bit. Even one person sending a letter becomes a huge, huge wad of mail for one congressperson or something of that nature. But it doesn't end there. Because how many times do you vote? Once every 4 years? Something of that nature, right? How many times can you actually actively vote and make a difference with your dollar in your wallet every day?
Well, what I'm thinking, Vinny, and then maybe caller, you can let us know what your thoughts are. It's almost like you have a fragment, silent resistance, which is almost the most effective. I mean, for example, they teach you in sales when you're trying to close, you know, you're trying to get the sale. The most powerful thing you can do once you finish your presentation is shut up, not say anything until they make their next move. Typically, there's enough pressure that emerges. The person will be like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And they'll shake your hand. I think a silent, fragmented resistance where each of us take part in it and ultimately bring the system to its knees, that might be the only way to truly, create the change or create the momentum needed to accomplish the goal of basically cleaning and cleaning out the disease. What are your thoughts, caller? Do you have an opinion there?
Well, I guess the strangest part to me is that all of this news is out in the open. All these videos of military forces and checkpoints and everything is all out in the open. All of these various government agencies arming to the teeth with hollow point ammo, which I'm pretty sure is actually illegal. It's all out in the open, and people know about it, but they just don't seem to care. So I don't know at what point people will begin to wake up and realize that this actually affects me. This isn't just like some, ambiguous threat that's just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, well, we've got a taste of it. I mean, obviously, the economic problems we've had over the past years, I mean, that's kind of been the wake-up call for a lot of people. It's really affected them. I mean, I'll listen to mainstream radio out here too in Arizona, and they're constantly talking about how things just haven't gotten better. And they're talking about the election and that, what has Obama done? Well, we're worse off than we were before. If you ask pretty much anyone, hey, were you better off or worse off 5 years ago than you are today? Most people will say we're better off probably 5 years ago. So
I don't know, Chris. 5 years ago, I became an activist and stopped working. So I was probably definitely a lot better off then.
Well, I'm just trying to toss around the ideas here a little bit.
You were talking about your fragmented resistance, and I agree as well, but you know how the New World Order is sort of fragmented as well? They've got all their splinter cell groups and what have you, but yet there's some cohesion, some sort of overarching kind of force that kind of brings all of their different works together at the end to have a global control grid, right? What if we use the exact same idea but doing the opposite? Okay, like let's say we've got all these different radio networks that currently exist that are all, producing truth or stuff. What if instead of competing for airwaves and things of that nature started to cooperate a little more or share bandwidth and things of that nature? to cooperate rather than compete increases your effectiveness substantially. Like, have you ever tried to build a house on your own? It's a pain in the ass. It takes ages. Like, you know, Noah took goodness knows how long to build that boat by himself. And if you got more people, and that's what networking is about. And Chris, you'd be well familiar with the idea of networking, and you work in a room and stuff like that. And I was listening to the radio yesterday, and they were talking about the etiquette of networking and how it's actually very, very good etiquette to hook other people up with people of like mind, right? And I was just thinking about this because we've been doing it every day after my radio show. We do the Vinny Eastwood social network, and we've got how many people? Usually maybe like 10, 15. Sometimes we had like 25 people or something just on a shared Skype call, and we just talk with other people of like mind all over the things, and it returns your sanity. Because you know, you realize that you're not the only one in this freaking world that sees how crazy stuff is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, yeah, it creates leverage too. I mean, the power of leverage can, you know, magnify the cause, magnify the experience for everybody. So, you know, I think those are wonderful ideas. Caller, anything else on your mind or something you'd like to add to that, this conversation? Or,
well, I guess just that, you know, for people not to fall for the division and the rhetoric, because you know, when it really comes down to it, it's not the East versus West, it's not, you know, Islam versus Christianity or anything, or Republicans versus Democrats. It's just, you know, us versus them, because if we don't win, we really don't have any future.
Yeah. I don't know, I think it's comedy versus seriousness, and I think there's more than enough seriousness.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to keep a level head. I think the caller's bringing up really intelligent points. Is, you know, we have to understand that the division's being created for a reason. The fact that all this is out in the open, Vinny, well, there's a reason for that too. It's meant to create, again, division. It's also to get you used to what's coming, used to the environment, used to the police state, used to seeing tanks, you know, roll through your city or town.
I mean, what got me is that people weren't getting out of their cars seeing those tanks and going, what the fuck? Yeah, yeah. Like, absolutely freaking out. feel free to freak out, ladies and gentlemen. Things could be worse, and they'll probably get much worse before the end. You're listening to Green Wave Radio with Christopher Green and Vinny Eastwood. We'll be right back.
We've got Vinny Eastwood with us. In fact, he's up next. Make sure to stay and tune into him right after our show, the Vinny Eastwood Show, on the American Freedom Radio Network or AmericanFreedomRadio.com. An article I wanted to get into, and really a breaking story that broke yesterday. It's not so breaking because we've been talking about it for a few years now, telling you it was going to happen. The rhetoric keeps stepping up, and we are so close to a physical war with Iran. Not only are we already in Syria, and that's a full-blown war. That's a full-blown U.S.-led, Western Israel-led invasion. But there was a report yesterday that said Israel is prepared for a 30-day war with Iran. And then it says, but will it attack? Or who will attack first? And there's pictures of Israeli children with gas masks on. In fact, Vinny, there's been a shortage of gas masks as really Israel prepares for war. What's your take on all this, Vinny? Because you kind of have an outsider's perspective, at least from, you know, you're not here in the States. You know, you've got a really good perspective of what's happening. What?
Well, you know what's been reported about all this, right, in the New Zealand media? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. There's a great movie. I think it's called
I'm not sure if it's called the control room or something, but it's about how the news gets reported out of Israel. Now, when you report, Chris, you film yourself and then you publish yourself online. Okay, so how many intermediaries do you have to go through? How many people are there to check your work, censor your content if necessary, anything like that? Or is it just you?
So re-ask that question again. You mean with our content, what's being censored? Sorry.
Like, let's say you're doing a show today and you're filming it. How many checks and balances? How many people look over your content and review it before it gets published for public view?
Well, not a whole lot. Yeah, I mean, we review it. I review it. I've got maybe one other person that'll take a look at it, depending on the piece. But
Now imagine that you find out that there's certain things that don't get left in because it's not worth it. It's trash or whatever. But you've got an agenda to tell the truth. Imagine, on the other hand, you had an agenda to lie. Imagine you had, on the other hand, an agenda to perhaps inflict a little bit of pain, suffering, steal land or something of that nature. You would have an agenda to lie, wouldn't you? And when news comes out of Israel, there's not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think there's something like 19 different pro-Israeli lobbies that have to view the news piece before it goes to air. Okay, for example, here's how it works in real terms. A Israeli tank blows up a house full of Palestinian women and children. And in retaliation for that unprovoked attack that occurred in the early hours of the morning when everything was very quiet. It was clearly just a terrorist thing. They just blew up a house just for target practice full of people. And in retaliation, a suicide bomber lets himself go at a checkpoint and injures one Israeli soldier. As a result, the Israeli military assaults Gaza and kills 50 people or 100 people or 1,000 people. And this is how it gets reported in the media. A terrorist Palestinian blew up a checkpoint. Now Israel has to defend itself, and it has. And they're going to be completely humanitarian about it and everything. Go back to sleep, America.
Yeah, well, it's a point. You know, the point, too, I think you're bringing is that there's such a review process with traditional media is that you can't really get the truth out because it's being circumvented by 15 different people or managers or whoever it is before it even gets published. So, you know, what finally gets published has an agenda of the system, pretty much, right? Yeah. So
precisely.
Yeah. I see you nodding your head there. So, you know, these are other questions too. Like, okay, look at the new platform. Look at the new media. Okay, we've got things like YouTube and Google in these, you know, video hosting websites that allow us to put content out. But, you know, they've got a review process too, Vinny. So, you know, how do we – the only way I see stepping out of censorship completely is honestly by building a new infrastructure that takes those leaders out of
That's what me and Charlie McGrath decided on the show the other day, man, is frack the mainstream media, okay? Don't go to them asking them to report something. Report it yourself. Publish it yourself, you know? You're actually – there was a study that was conducted and, you know, amount of people who heard a story per your approach to try to get it out to people, okay? So you're actually 17 times more likely to get a story out if you break it yourself by your own means than you are asking a professional reporter to do it.
Well, yeah.
Something like that.
So, you know, it's like citizen journalism, which we're getting more of and a lot of people are doing. So they bring these big stories to us. But I don't know if you've seen this. I mean, YouTube, for example, there's a review process with the content. I mean, I'll get content flagged because of the content. For example, I put something out, didn't even have any cuss words or anything in the video at all, but it was titled, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to attack Israel.
And that was a that was like a flagged video as being too mature of content for a normal audience to consume. And so I had to take the video down. So there's still censorship. That's the problem, is even as great as all this technology is, YouTube, Google really is just the new government, basically telling us what people can consume, how they can.
You know what's funny, though? I'd actually prefer that over our current government, because at least it's interactive and actually changes and with our preferences. Current government doesn't freaking do that, does it?
Well, kind of the big, you know, topical question I think a lot of us have had in our minds for several years now as we've embarked on this journey. And, you know, we've all seen this, how this has developed. But why do we even need a government, Vinny? I mean, we can govern ourselves now. We don't need a government.
Well, I would prefer to be governed by the mafia, okay? For, you know, there's reasons for this, okay? For example, there's a reason why mafia is better than government. there's a great video called 10 Reasons Why Mafia is Better Than Government. And first reason, the mafia has a code of conduct. And also, the mafia, if you pay protection money to them, you get protected.
It's true. Yeah. No, I would rather be governed by the mob as well, Vinny. There's respect, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And you pay, you know, at least there's some rules, right? There's no, in the current system, in the current government, you never know who's going to be backstabbing you. I mean, well, there is no rules. It's more like a wild west of scumbag, to use your term there, Vinny.
And you know, I don't like the term wild west either. Because apparently the West wasn't even that wild. Like, what was his name? Billy the Kid and these other, you know, superhero status type criminals. They barely even robbed even a few stagecoaches or trains or anything like that before getting busted. And anybody to commit crimes like that was exceptionally rare for the time, because everybody was packing heat. There was like very, very, very little crime. And yet it's portrayed in the movies as this kind of wild, savage, you know, a dog-eat-dog kind of thing. But no, just like, what was his name? Winston Churchill says walk softly and talk softly and carry a big stick. And that has been a policy that the United States seems to have, discarded, because they're not talking softly anymore. They're just like, we're going to go to war. We're going to go to war. We're going to have some drone strikes over innocent civilian areas, because there might be some description of Al-Qaeda scumbaggery hiding in them caves there.
Yeah, well, it's okay? Like, I don't know.
I was not born in friggin' Kenya. No more questions. Cut to the Israeli lobby advertisement, please.
And I don't know if you've seen any of these speeches yesterday, but, you know, Paul Ryan speaking, you know, I saw him speaking, Michelle Obama speaking, and Romney, I guess, spoke. I tuned out before he spoke. But, you know, you got Ryan there, and he's a charismatic guy, and he's talking about, you know, he's rallying up the people. We're going to take the country back. And, you know, Obama's running a campaign of hate and division. And then he talks about Medicare and, you know, what they're going to do. And it's just so pathetic, deceiving. You know, they're telling us what we want to hear. There's nothing wrong with what they're saying, but it's the subtext. Nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to change. Paul Ryan.
You know, you know what's really frustrating about seeing through the lie is that you see that the lie keeps getting repeated. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where they repeat themselves, like quite regularly in the conversation? It starts to get a little irritating, right?
What do you mean?
Well, Manny? Imagine somebody's not just repeating themselves, but it's a whole group of people who are repeating themselves, and they rule your life. It's frustrating being a truther, man.
It is very frustrating, Vinny, being a truther, seeing the world for what it really is. So what's going on in New Zealand right now?
Well, you know, normal stuff. We have state houses. You got state houses in the States there, man?
State houses?
Yeah. Like back in the day, right, during the Depression, the New Zealand government thought it would be a real good idea to generate social credit, kind of like the Greenbacks back in the day during the Civil War, where they generated their own state credit and what have you in order to build projects, bridges, whatever. And they built these houses, huge amounts of them, and housed war veterans and all bunches of different people. And the incidence of poverty in New Zealand went down substantially. The value of the properties appreciated in value, and people were able to get government subsidized rent. So that by the time that they'd been in that house 15 years, they'd actually already paid the rent off, and they're going to continue to rent it at an incredibly cheap rate anyway. So they're enormously profitable, and. But had been there for a long time and long established communities living in these houses. The government is now under the proceeds of Agenda 21, in my opinion, leveling about 150, 180, 260, so some ridiculous amount of houses that are in one suburb in Auckland here. Okay, now dig this. This is how the consultation works, and this will scare everybody because you'll say, "Oh my God, that's how they do it here." Have you ever had a consultation with a project, and they say, "We're going to refurbish these houses"? Okay, now to an ordinary person, refurbish means cutting this house off of its foundations, hiffing it on the back of a truck, and selling it to somebody halfway across the country. That is what the government consultation is like. Do you want these houses refurbished? Yeah, sure. Asking the people, and they don't even ask the people that are living in them. They bribe, literally bribe, the local churches and Maori leaders and tribal elders and people of standing in the community and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean literally bribe. They invite an exclusive public meeting where only those particular leaders are invited, and they get paid $100, and not a single other member of the public is invited. So if you get a whole bunch, and this is straight out of Agenda 21 as well, how to get your projects passed is to basically bring in all the leaders of your society, bribe them, get them drunk, get them well fed, then give them a quick presentation about how good it is, give them a taste of the pie, okay? You don't give them all the pie, but you give them a taste. For instance, all these houses that are getting demolished, about 40 of them or something of that nature is being given to local churches and groups like that. So they bribe you, but about a year or two down the track, they're going to take all that back anyway from the churches and what have you and sell it off to the developers. They have van loads full of Chinese businessmen just rolling past these state houses that are being quote-unquote refurbished as police in some brutal fashion are like beating up old men who are trying to block the trucks from leaving and things of that nature. It's just horrific. And it's happening so frequently now that I'll get a text message from somebody saying they're just removing another house. It's almost every day. That's what's happening here in New Zealand, man. Agenda 21 takeover. And that's just one tiny, tiny, tiny thing that I could elaborate on. There is so much more. So much more.
Yeah. Well, is it interesting looking at it from the New Zealand perspective, looking at America? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what is your opinion of what's happening here? I mean, we give it so much criticism and, you know, we're here, I'm an American, but I mean.
Well, we'll be right back after the break, folks, with the fabulous and illustrious Christopher Green. And I hope that the homeless population of the United States, about 25% of which are veterans, I think, get somewhere to sleep and something to eat soon. We'll be right back.
2012. I'm here, Christopher Green, with Vinny Eastwood. Make sure to stay with us and join Vinny Eastwood on his show, the Vinny Eastwood Show, right after ours here at the top of the hour. Vinny, I don't know if you talked about this today or you heard about this, but Julian Assange has finally been granted asylum. Ecuador has granted asylum to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange 2 months after he took refuge in its London embassy while fighting extradition from the UK. Ecuador cited fears that Mr. Assange's human rights have been violated. Foreign Secretary of the UK would not allow Mr. Assange safe passage out of the country. He's, of course, these rape charges that have.
Well, I'm sure that Julian Assange is very, very happy that he's going to get exiled to frickin' Ecuador for the rest of his life for some made-up fraud charges for some CIA hookup.
Well, I would agree with you there, but it's a lot better than being publicly executed in the United States, which is, you know, what...
Yeah, that would suck balls.
That's what they want. So they want capital punishment for the guy here in the U.S. So,
Okay. This guy's real bad, right? He's so evil that he released a video of U.S. Helicopter pilots just shooting innocent civilians just randomly, and people who are clearly cameramen and professionals. You know? What a bastard. Oh, my goodness, you can't allow people to actually see what really happens in war. Then people won't want it. Oh, goodness sake, this person must be executed. That'll show people that violence isn't okay.
Truth, Vinny. I mean, he's a truth leaker. He should definitely face capital punishment. I mean, do you see the video? It's totally true.
I don't know. Whenever I go to the bathroom, I call it taking a WikiLeak.
You know, that is pretty funny, actually. Taking a WikiLeak.
Hey, and if you have to do it really quickly as well, you say I'm taking a WikiLeak.
Yeah, maybe at some point in the future, we'll be so technologically evolved. We won't even have to go to the bathroom. We'll just take a artificial WikiLeak.
Like you know, it'll be like in the movie Catch 22, or the book, or rather, is funnier. Have you ever heard of the? You ever seen? It's a caricature. There's a dude who's completely encased in casts. Like both his arms are in casts, both his legs, his entire chest, and everything like that. And he's got like one little drip feeder that's feeding him, kind of thing, and one other little bottle coming out of him with all his waste. And then what the nurse does is they come and they swap them. They take the waste and they put it and they swap it into his feeder, and they take the empty feeder and they put it down to his waist.
Oh man.
And I go, if that is not a metaphor for Wall Street, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we've got a lot of metaphors for Wall Street. Bunch of rats fleeing the nest.
Well, you actually were there, man. What was it like in the deep bowels? Is everybody as much of a soulless whoremonger and cokehead as I've been led to believe?
Pretty much. I mean, not everybody, you know. I mean,
did you not partake?
Well, I'm not a soulless guy, Vinny. You know, that's why I had to leave.
But you don't have to be soulless in order to try cocaine.
Well, you know, I think what's happened is it's an environment that promotes the criminals, and that's the problem, especially at a high level, you know, especially if we're looking at the John Corzines of the world. These guys are promoted. They don't face criminal charges. They're basically...
What about your personal experience? Like, did you see that in the workplace, like the real scumbag of the office getting promoted?
Yeah, I mean, I would say... You know, I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but in a little different perspective, I mean, we worked with retail clients. So we were working with the average John and Jane that were retired and that, you know, are trying to protect their assets and their wealth and, you know, make sure that that outlives them, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a very cutthroat industry and in a lot of ways, kind of a soulless environment, especially as you keep going up the ladder. You take it to New York City and you look at, you know, the global financiers around the world. It's, I don't know, it's not a friendly environment. I mean, it's all about the money.
Well, remember how we were talking about John Key over here? about John Key and how he was called the Smiling Assassin's one of his nicknames. He got that nickname when he was working in Wall Street because you know how hard it is to fire somebody? You just realize that this guy's out on his ass and he's got to find a new way to feed his kids, stuff like that. It's really horrible, you know. Just to fire somebody is quite traumatic, let alone being fired itself. John Key fired 200 people in a day, mm-hmm. walking around with a beaming grin on his face. They called him the Smiling Assassin because he'll be smiling at you all the while, scheming behind you and taking you out. Now, what kind of a person has a nickname like that from Wall Street, right? And then he becomes the leader of a country. Naturally, it's a promotion, isn't it?
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, Benny. You know, some people are really good at that. Some people are really good at politics. Again, it's, you know, look at Washington. Who gets promoted? Who takes positions of power? Those people really with compromised integrity, pretty much. I mean, the system promotes criminals. That's the system.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm really sick of truthers really tearing each other down. All right? I've got to say this as well. Like, you're doing a real good job, Chris. Like, you're doing it more professional than 99% of the other truthers out there, bro. You're getting the good camera done, fabulous YouTube channel, decent radio program, good audience, intelligent callers, and that kind of thing. You're getting the business done. And that's all that really needs to happen. But when people come in and just start saying, oh, you're terrible, they're not doing anything themselves, and yet they have this pin on their shoulders to, say, throw darts at people like you and say that you're not doing it right. It's like, well, mate, I may not be doing it right, but you're doing nothing at all. So you've got no leg to stand on. So let's think about this. Everybody's reputation is about getting things done, isn't it? If somebody walks up to me and says, Vinny, I want to do this project, that project, I want to release this new currency or whatever, I'll say, okay, what have you done before? Well, absolutely nothing. Okay, well, come back to me when you've actually accomplished something on your own before you need to start asking for help, right? Being independent is about not being dependent, isn't it? And that is what the New World Order wants us in. They want us dependent on other people and all of that kind of stuff. The more that you're capable of doing by yourself, okay, the stronger you will be. Because that way, if your mate who runs your website or something like that goes off sick or on holiday or whatever, you've got the knowledge and the skills to do his job, or maybe vice versa, right? So you can be totally independent, but also have a good social network where people are of similar interests, similar skill levels, things like that, and you can help each other out. That's what I'm talking about here, collaboration. People are much stronger when they work together. And I don't care about the there's a lot of bickering about audience and competing for them in this field, and I acknowledge that this is an industry. It's a truth industry now, and I think bugger it. If it's a truth industry, then I say we make it a really, really strong, fabulous, dynamic, and vibrant industry full of the entrepreneurial spirit of people who take personal responsibility of the human race's safety in terms of the media and informing people about what's going on. I don't see any problem with that. I don't see any problem with collaborating with anyone else, because you can ask the question, is that other person planning to perhaps taser me or shoot me with one of those hollow point rounds while wearing a black uniform? No, they're not going to. So they're not worth my problem. This is not worth arguing with other people in the truth movement, because they're not likely to kill you. And look, we can save our arguments for another time, right? Perhaps a time when we're not under the grave threat of martial law and enslavement. Come together, people. And also, I'm coming up next at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there as well. And Chris, as always, thank you so much for having me, bro. I always love having a chat with you, man.
Yeah, me. I love having you on the show. It's great. We haven't had you on in a while, too. It's great to catch up with you. One of these, if I can get out to New Zealand, there's something going on over there. I'll have to get some coverage there and, you know, meet you in person. I've always actually wanted to take a trip out there. So,
yeah, man, we'll serve you up some tropical frack frou-frou drink.
A tropical fruit drink of truth. Well, you know, Vinny, like you were saying, man, it's, you know, I guess the truth movement has turned into an industry. But for me, it's always been about the message. And honestly, that's the most important part of it. Bringing truth to the public, doing something positive, like you said, it's, you know, not about money or anything like that. I mean, shit, none of us went on YouTube because we thought it was going to be an industry. We went on YouTube and these platforms because we had something to say. That's it. And what's amazing is that it's grown into something that's, you know, given us a bigger platform. And with that comes a responsibility. That means everyone in the truth movement, everybody that has a platform or an audience, has a responsibility to their audience, but has a responsibility to the people. And I think to lead by example in a positive way. And of course, we're all different. We've all got different personalities. Maybe some of us even have different objectives, but I think that's okay, because I think at the end of the day, what the people want is truth, and what the people want is honesty, and people want integrity. And that's something that we don't have in the world, at least to a really great degree anymore. It's sad.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, as long as somebody's not trying to kill me, they're not that big of a threat. Green Wave Radio, as always, hard-hitting and in-your-face America. I'm Vinny Eastwood for Christopher Green. And don't you go changing and stay classy and whatnot. Again, it sounds like me.